Session number 163, but no reel two.
Gold is green, and we used to sit up on them seats, but I'll tell you for why. Because in Lyons' cafe opposite, they used to, when we see us sitting over there, girls used to, come on, let's give them, we're going to have tea and buns. Well, I came back from there.
All your broken bones? I mean, they'd set
buns,
they?
Eh?
No, your broken bones.
Oh, I was there long 6 weeks.
Yeah, they put you in plaster,
didn't
they?
Put me in plaster, you know. And I went there, and I'm convalescing home. There was only one of leg bone broken, that was all. And, all right. So, anyhow, said you can walk all right, we'll get your arm. I used to have to go down to the infirmary, the hospital infirmary, every day, and have to go up a ladder with my arm to get my arm working. And after being there for about, I was in bed about, somewhere about 2 months, I expect. I said, all right, you're all right now, you're walking well, your arm's all right, you're all right. Right, you are. They sent me to 30 Training Squadron, Ruislip, Norfolk. And while I was there, the railway strike was on in 1919. Remember it? You don't.
No.
Anyhow, so the CO come along one day. I used to up a bit, you know. Can you drive a lorry? I said, no. Never been in one. Only for a ride. Oh, he said, well, now's your chance to learn. Right, Sergeant, take him out on that Maudsley and learn him to drive it. I said, what? So take him out, learn to drive that lorry. I went out. I struggled out there. My leg was hurt a bit, but it was all right. You know. So come back. Can he drive? He said, yes, sir, he can drive. And this Maudsley was a double clutch thing, straight gears. So get your kit, put it in the lorry. Here's your second driver in with you. Get in that convoy. I said, what? Where are we going? He said, you'll soon find out. So, all right, off we go. I said to him, where are we going? He said, we're going to London. I said, what? I've never been in bloody London driving a car. He said, you've got to keep in the convoy. So we went to Hyde Park. When we get to Hyde Park, there was all the policemen right across Hyde Park, clearing it right the way out. So he said, all right, we got stood up by the pond, where we was that night. And we come down with orders. You leave here at 4 o'clock. I said, oh yeah. You're going to Chippingham to get milk for London. So we used to leave there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, go down to Chippingham, get loaded up with milk, and get back into London in the early hours of the morning for London to have their milk.
That's Chippingham in Wiltshire, was it?
Yeah, that's Chippingham in Wiltshire, yeah. And one day, we said, no water, we had to shave the radiator and use the mirrors of the guy from shaving. And one day, we was there, they had a marquee up in there. So I said, come on, let's go up and have a cup of tea. So she said, old Queen Mary's up there. I said, what? Old Queen Mary's up there. I said, no, you're right. Goes in there. She was there too. Hello, she said, you boys, what you want? Cup of tea, ma'am. There you are, then. We should... Penny. Penny. Anyhow, we stopped there till the strike was over.
What, doing this trip down every day?
Yes, every night.
Every night, yeah.
Every night we went down there. It was about 3 weeks, I think.
What, you sleep under canvas in Hyde Park, did you?
Sleep in the lorry.
Sleep in the lorry, yeah.
No. The only good tent was up there was tea for us. And then when we got to Chippingham, they used to give us a meal. Well, then they called me back. Got to go to Uxbridge. Oh, that's done it. I got Uxbridge, right. This was all in 1919, right? You're posted. I said, where? India. I said, India? I said, yes. You leave tomorrow. Get your kit, leave tomorrow. You go down to London, you pick up the Himalaya.
Weren't you going to come out with the war being over? Hey? Didn't you want to come out to the RAF when the war was over?
I couldn't. I got 4-4.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And the service I'd done as a boy didn't count.
Yeah.
So I had to wait from 1918 to 1922 before I could get out. Anyhow, so I said, yes, all right. The RAF has got a nasty habit of doing that once you've been overseas. Anyhow, just on this Himalaya troop ship. Got a colonel of the ship, sergeant major of the ship. We was put chipping and painting on the way out, see? We left Tilbury.
What were conditions like on the ship?
Oh, not too bad. We had the holds of the ship turned into mess tricks and sleeping. We slept in hammocks across the tables. And, right, coal ship. Coal ship, not, what is it? Gibraltar. Coal. We stopped at Gibraltar, coal.
And you had to do the work?
No, we didn't touch anything then. No. We had to work on the ship, like, keep us busy, you know, painting and shipping and such things like that, or on duty, guard duty or something. And we used to have a concert every now and again on the hatch. Crown and anchor. And right, get down from Gibraltar, down the Mediterranean, Port Said. More coal. Stop again, coal. Right, left Gibraltar, left Port Said, down through the Suez Canal, down the Red Sea, Aden, more coal. Right, we've been on the bloody ship 3 weeks. It's all right, and then left Aden, Bombay, 28 days. Got to Bombay, went to a place called Calabar Rest Camp. Next day they said, all right, you've got to go up to be climatized. Now, there's a thing that a lot of people don't know. And what do you think the name of the climatized camp was? Dool Alley. You've heard of Dool Alley Tap? That's where it come from. Well, we done our fortnight up there Then I went up the frontier up in New Delhi and Kathmandu. We hadn't been up there long before they said, right, trouble in Baghdad, trouble in Mesopotamia, you've got to go to Mesopotamia.
You were what, working on aircraft there, were you?
Yes, there in India. You've got to go to Mesopotamia, as it was then, because the Mesopotamia was a land of two rivers. And it's all right. Back to Bombay we goes.
On a train, I suppose.
Oh, down a train.
Yeah.
All the Indians hanging on outside the carriages, not paying their money fares coming down. Anyhow, took us about a couple of 3 days to get down from New Delhi down to Bombay. It's a hell of a long way. Anyhow, we got to a ship. It was called a Chakdara. Went on there, and she was lousy. All underneath the table, you could scrape the cockroaches and all off. It was a BI boat. We said, we're not going on this bloody thing. So he said, no. Then I've been in a mutiny. So we said, all right, come on, boys. All you senior NCO, you sub aboard. We don't want you involved. We're not going on that boat. So, all right, then we all went on the quay. On Bombay. I don't know whether they ever recorded it or not. So they said, all right, we'll have to send for the COC of Bombay, Bombay down. He come down in his mess dress. What's all the trouble? He said, we're not going on that ship, it's filthy. Oh, yes, you are, he said. I said, we're not. We're not going on her. He said, this is mutiny. So I said, well, it was or not. He said, sit and went on the line. What you going to do? Same as him. What you going to do? Same as him. What you going to do? Same as him. Right way along the line. He said, all right, take him back to Calabar Rest Camp. They took us back to Calabar Rest Camp and paid us the next day. And then, 2 or 3 days afterwards, all right, they got a ship for you. When we got down there, it was called the Vazner, hospital ship. There were beds for us. So anyway, we got on this hospital ship, when we went up to Basra.
That was hot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was hot. Right up through the Indian Ocean there. At night, it's magnificent. With all the phosphorus in the water. Look over the side and see. Sea looks as though it was all pretty lights. Anyway, we got into Basra. And they said, right, you got to pick up a riverboat. Of course, from Basra to Baghdad is 500 miles. We got on this flipping riverboat, flat bottom, with a barge on each side, and a bloke sitting on the front with a big long bamboo pole. Lord, your love, sir, so many fathoms, see, forced to go up through. Well, anyway, we got Cuttamarra, where the hospital was. They took us off at Cuttamarra. There's some little railway line there, taking us into Baghdad. We went into Baghdad in trucks. And went on the right bank of the Tigris, not in Adi. I never went to in Adi. And when we got to Baghdad and had a good look round there, we was in a place like 3 squadrons there for us. There was 30 squadron with DH-9s. There was 55 squadron with DH-9As. And there was number 6 squadron with Bristol fighters. It was all on one aerodrome round there. And we got there. And what did they give me when I got there? Hammer, some nails, some wood, and some webbing. Make your own bed. And I make my own bed. Charpoys, we used to call them. And said, oh. So anyway, we got settled down in there. Our sergeant major there was Thornycroft, his name was. The station warrant officer. And, of course, when you get on their place like that, all this eye left and eyes right, it all goes away. You know what I mean? You're one of them. They got to rely on you. So anyhow, I was only an ACAMR then, leading AM, AC. So anyhow, we got there, got showed our tambour to sleep in. We had a tambour with a boy with a bit of rag up to keep us cool, in double line tents, you know. But afterwards, we did have huts and electricity. And got on parade next morning. I was sent up to the rigging sheds. Of course, when the aircraft come out to us, they were like in boxes, like containers, you know. They was in one box. The fuselage was in one there, and the wings was on the side, and the engine come separate. But when they got out there, we had to open up each wing and all the places because the wood had shrunk. We had to tighten them all up, all the nuts all up, and build them. And I got there with them there, and then there was the business of this guard business. Guard. At night time, the guards ran the camp, ran the aerodrome, were Sikhs. And this is new. Every one of those guards used to shout to one another all night long. Number 1 sentry, number 2 sentry, number 3 sentry, number 4 sentry, number 5 sentry, and number 6. See that they were all alive, because the Arabs had got a nasty habit of coming up and digging them, you see.
Cutting their throats, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, an air guard was inside. We used to do all around the ammunition and all around there. Well, a little story I'll tell you about that. I was on guard there one night. That was before I was an NCO. I was on guard there one night. Rifle. The rifle always was strapped to your wrist. You should undo one part of the sling and put it around your wrist so they couldn't snatch your rifle away. And after midnight, you didn't challenge anybody. You fired. You always had one bullet up the spout all the time. You didn't challenge not a soul. And then when the guard come, the relief comes, we always used to make arrangements what they should whistle coming down to relieve you so that we knew it was them. You know what I mean? Anyhow, I was there one night, rifle, marching up and down by the transport and all the ammunition and all the Indian and that. And it was a beautiful night, a beautiful night. It was just like day. You know what it's out there in the tropics. And all of a sudden, I see a shadow come behind me. As I turned around, this shadow came behind me. In between my knees, I could see it. You see, on these rifles, we had a dust cap. You had to get that dust cap off before you could do anything, see? So I said, I don't know. I'm going to get it now. Up, oh, yeah. So anyway, I went up. I stopped, you know. Put my rifle down. Still behind me. And I pull up the clip, see? Just like that. Up. Marched up to the top. And said, wait, I get to the top. Up the top, and I went, turned around. Bang! I shot myself. It was my shadow. It's my shadow behind me. It says hey, your nerve was up. And I used to meet Lawrence of Arabia. He was there when I was there. I knew him. He used to come in and give us the information. Because you see, our aeroplanes then, after a certain time of the day, couldn't fly because they used to boil. They used to carry a can in the cockpit from and a pipe from the overflow into that can. And when you see the steam coming through there, you come down, and come down quick. Otherwise, your engine would seize up. That's what they're there. Anyway, we had that time. Then one day, I started getting promotion then. I went into the corporal. And then I went up sergeant, acting sergeant. And I had charge of all the hangars that built the aircraft. Now, we had no AID.
What was that?
AID, Aircraft Inspection Department. We used to have to do all our own inspection. You know, we used to have to lock the buckles of the turnbuckles on the aircraft. We used to have to see that the nuts was down past a certain part. There's an hole in the socket. You used to have to get and push it and see that the thread was past that hole. We used to have to splice all the cables to the rudders and to the ailerons. No, we used to put the aircraft up and we used to have to true it in. There were three things you used to have to do. You used to get it level. You know, then put the wings in, bolt them down. Then you had the dihedral angle to see to. That was you had to put your wires up and you had to the wires that went upwards was called the flying wires, and the wires that come down was the landing wires. They said the wires up there took their strain when she was in the air, and the ones come down there. Anyhow, and you just have to, we had a clinometer, and doing this, you had so many degrees lift up, you see. Then you had the angle of incidence underneath, the camber of the aircraft, you just have to be so many degrees. You used to put a straight edge underneath from spar to spar. And then you set the kilometre to the degrees you wanted. And you move the wires. Then you had stagger the wires that went over the plane that went over the top. You used to put a plumb bob down. You see, and you had to be so many inches from the leading edge of the bottom plane. You see what I mean?
I'm completely clear. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, that's how they were built.
Yeah.
And inside on the dashboard. Was about six, only about six instruments, all those that you wanted, nothing more. And you had the throttle on the side, the joystick in front, and two wires, and you had the rudder bar down there. And in the back seat, where we used to do all our own crewing. We had no crews. The men on the, what's that, on the ground used to do that, the men, you know. There was no air crew.
There was a pilot air crew.
Yeah, but part of it, everybody had to go up in a double seat. There was no air machine gun or an air gun or all that kind of thing. One of the mechanics went up. Anyhow, and he used to, but in the back, all the aircraft we had then in the back, they had another from the bottom. They had a rod come from there. They had it from the main joystick. You had a joystick that was on the side. You had a rudder bar in there, and you had a throttle. So that if he had anything active, you could, if you...
You got dual controls.
You got, yeah, dual control, all of it. And we went up there one day, and Green was the test pilot. Am I boring you?
No, this is marvellous.
And we went up in a 9. I think it was a 9. Of course, you see, being in charge of the building and being, I had to see that the aircraft was all airworthy, he wouldn't go up unless I went up. So, you know, if I was going with him, he'd be all right, see? It was no idea. I know. Anyway, we went up. And I myself, my Christ, he's not going to miss them bloody wires, is he? No, and he didn't miss them either.
What wires are those?
Some wires going across the cab. I don't know what the hell they were, but I didn't realize it. And took the bloody undercarriage right off. Because there's only two V-struts and wires, you know. And the wheels were in, what's the name, Sandown stuff. You know, that belt wire, in electric, you know, you wind round. Shock absorbers,
yeah.
You know, round there.
Yeah.
And a
bungee.
Skid.
Bungee.
Yeah, no, no one. It was a, like a rope with all elastic in it.
Yeah.
You used to wind it round the wheels, like so. Because the wheels is an arc, you see. Like they go up like that, you see, when they landed. Anyhow, we had a, in between me and him was 200 gallons of bloody petrol, aviation fuel, with the pumps on the top, and we had a pipe between us. When I tell you put your feet up, you put your bloody feet up or you'll lose them. I said, all right. So down we come. First thing it went was a prop, wasn't it? Then he went tore the bottom right out of her. So, are you all right? I said, yeah. I see Squadron Leader Reeves was the CO standing far away. Because when there's any accident, the only way we should communicate was with my very pistols. And such like. And there was an aircraft just across the road, all running up already. So we got out, him and I, went over there. I said, oh, Green, we'd have a cup of tea then, wouldn't we? He said, no, you won't. He said, get in that bloody aircraft and get up again. I don't want you losing the nerve. So we had to go up straight away. Straight away.
Yeah.
Went up there. Now, another thing happened out there with me too was that we used to have political officers. They used to go around with six Indian soldiers collecting the taxes for the date palms. They used to have to pay so many taxes on the date palms. Well, we was on the aerodrome one day and working there. He come along with me. So I got a job for you. I said, oh yeah. He said, yes. You don't mind, do you? I said, no. When he said, bit risky. I said, all right, don't matter. He said, you go with Mr. Green. I said, what's the matter then? He said, they've killed the political officer, cut him up in front of his wife, and killed all the Indian soldiers and captured her. We want you to go out and get her back. I said, oh, Christ.
The political officer was what? Was he British or what?
British, oh yeah, he's one of the officers. So I said, oh yeah, all right. So, he was the, they had a, by some of them, they had their wives and all that with them there. So he said, I said, oh, Greek, come on. He said, well, look, Harold. He said, look, you've got a Lewis gun there, haven't you? I said, yeah, and bloody things. I don't like it. I never did like them. He said, and when do we get on the aerodrome, or when we get down there, we can find her. He said, you keep that arms away with that bloody machine gun. I said, look, if that bloody machine gun jams like they do, he said, you got to drum on the top, they're liable to jam. So he said, well, the best thing you can do, he said, I'll release my guns, he said, my two Maxims in the front, he said, and when I jump out, you jump, you get out, get in that bloody seat quick and fire them guns. So I said, all right. So we went out and fired the guns. Anyway, we got her. I said, where are you going to put her? She said, you've got to go in the back with you. I said, where the hell am I going to sit then? Well, he said, we'll work it out, shall we? He said, look, you sit on the ring, like that, put your feet down over her shoulders, and put your toes under the cockpit, and hang on to the ring, the top ring where the gun is. I said, oh yeah, 200 miles I have travelled like that. I got back, all right. We saved her, we got her back.
How did you get her back? I mean, she was in captivity, was she, or what?
Yeah, but, no, she was, they got her in a tent there. They got her captive. We had to get her out. But what we done, you see, but there was both. There was what they call the nomads, Bedouins.
Bedouin, yeah.
And what we had to do, you see, we had to get the Arabs away out of it, so we could see. So we had to be very careful. So we had to machine gun all of the Arabs all the way round, so to get them away out of it, so we could get at it. See.
So you landed by the tent.
Eh? Oh, we landed by the tent. You see, we knew we could see that where she was. We could see her. And that's it. And Mrs. Buchanan, her name was. Always remember. And we got back, and not long afterwards, the old man come to us. He said to me, he said, we've recommended you for decoration. And I said, oh yeah, what is it, sir? He said, the MSM. I said, what? I said, the bloody cook's got that for killing us nearly. He said, don't you want it? I said, no, I don't. And I was a fool because they're not being issued now. So anyhow, I said, I don't know what you... So anyhow, Green got the Air Force Cross. I said, I know, all right, he said, I'll see to it. Said, you seen orders about a month or so afterwards? I said, no. I said, you better go and look. I got to mention in dispatches, I had a certificate from the King. I got it there. Well, it's in Middle Wallop. And that's, I got there. And then, after that, you see, was out there. I was out there till 1922. No leave. Never went on leave. We worked from 4 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night and went to work again after tea. Because there was only us there. There was no army there. No army.
You had no entertainment of
it? Oh, no. We was there, no. No entertainment, no. Nothing. Nothing at all. Oh, Salmon come out there one day. The Salmon brothers. One come out there one day. And oh, Thornycroft ordered us a bloody kit inspection. God, like him, he ain't going to do you no kit inspection. So we all packed up, the men did, all packed up, went in on the bun. Oh, Salmon come, there wasn't no airmen there, was there?
What was the bun?
That was a bunk that went round, the, like a hill, going round the airdrome. So he said, where are they then? Oh, he said, they want to do the kit inspection. He said, right. He said, well, look, squadron leader, you can quite understand it, you know, he said. They're all bloody mad, he said, but they don't notice it among themselves. I said, oh, yeah, very nice. Anyhow, we got out of that all right.
The discipline was fairly relaxed.
Oh, it was very relaxed.
We didn't have to salute
everyone. Oh, no, that was all cut out.
Yeah.
All cut out, none of that. Yeah. You was there, because they had to rely on you too much for that.
Yeah.
You see, for me up in there with that anger, with doing all them aircraft, they got to take my word for it. And that's how they used to do it, take me up. Oh, and I used to fly with the we used to go down to Bushire. That was down on the mouth going up. I used to fly down there with the squadron leader. He used to say, come on, we should go down to... We had flights all round Hiller, all the way round, up at Kirkcut, Mosel, right up in the hills and that, all round Bacuba, all the way round.
Well, these are actual operations?
Yes, yes, it was operating. Well, it was on active service in 1922.
I mean, who were you bombing then? I mean,
The Arabs. The Arabs was doing a lot of damage out there. You see, what happened, you see, that when the war was on, when... What's his name?
Lawrence.
Yeah. You see, he always dressed up as an Arab. He was there with the Arabs. They fought the Turks because Turkey was only just up over past Mosul, and they promised them that they'd have their own land all back. You know, and they didn't keep it. And they rose. The Arab Rising. I was out there. When I come home, I was on duty, and the bridges over there then was pontoon bridges. There was nothing else. We had nothing. I never see any meat, not beef or anything like that. We lived on goat's milk, goat's butter, goat's meat all the time I was there.
You get any beer?
No, not any beer. If you've got any beer, we could get some beer in up at the office. Up at the there was a there's men out there working and that, you know. They had a civvy up there. Up by the station, up by Baker. They was up there clubbing all up there. And we was at Maud Park, you see. Anyhow, we got to there and. So I stopped there till 1922, and then he come to me one day and he said, "I got a what's name coming?" He said, "We got a air-cooled engine come in it. He said, you built a lot of snipes and Bart, so I said, yes. He said, you're going home in March.